Trump makes good on his promise of tariffs, saying it will pay off in the long run.
Let me tell you, in all cases, they all want to make deals. There's nobody that doesn't want to make deals. They've been abusers, and they want to make deals.
Will his goals be achieved, and what will it mean for global trade?
At the end of the day, the most we can hope for is that everybody will negotiate a retreat, and everybody will lower their tariffs and back where we were in the first place.
Today's Monday, January 3rd, and this is The Issue from VOA. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London. Scott has the day off.
We may have short-term some little pain, and people understand that, but long-term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world.
U.S. President Donald Trump paused new tariffs on Mexico for 1 month after Mexico agreed to reinforce its northern border.
They've agreed to put in 10,000 soldiers permanently, like forever, 10,000 soldiers at their side of the border and stop fentanyl and illegal aliens from coming into our country. They have a big incentive to do. Other than that, we've agreed to talk and consider various other things. We haven't agreed on tariffs yet, and maybe we will, maybe we won't.
The tariffs against Canada and China are still set to go into effect Tuesday. Following Trump's tariff announcement Saturday, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said Canada will impose 25% tariffs on billions of dollars of U.S. goods in response to the U.S. measures.
Canadian energy powers American manufacturing, businesses, and homes. Of America's top five trading partners, Canada is the only one with whom the United States runs a trade surplus in manufacturing. And Canada buys more goods made by Americans than China, Japan, and Germany combined.
President Trump says the tariffs will stay in place until Canada does more to fight illegal migrants and fentanyl smuggling.
We don't need them to build our cars. I'd rather see Detroit or South Carolina or any one of our Tennessee, any one of our states build the cars. They could do it very easily. We don't need them for the cars. We don't need them for lumber. We don't need them for anything. We don't need them for energy. We have more energy than they do. We don't need them for energy.
And the president says he's planning more tariffs.
It will definitely happen with the European Union, I can tell you that, because they've really taken advantage of us. And, you know, we have over a $300 billion deficit.
Let's get some perspective on just what this means for U.S. trade and the economy in the U.S. and globally. Joining us now is Joel Paul, who teaches and writes about constitutional law, international business and trade, and foreign relations and national security law at UC Law San Francisco.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us about this, Joel.
My pleasure.
President Trump initially declared an economic emergency, and that enabled him to place tariffs on countries that we trade with. Can you explain, first of all, just what this emergency, International Emergency Economic Powers Act means?
So the International Economic Emergency Powers Act is a law that basically says that when the president determines that there's an unusual and extraordinary threat outside the country, that he has certain authority to regulate international transactions. This is the law under which presidents prior to Trump have imposed economic sanctions against countries that are adversaries during emergency situations. For example, during the hostage crisis with Iran way back in the 1970s. However, this has never been used before as a basis for imposing tariffs. Trump says that the influx of undocumented aliens and fentanyl into the country constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat. This is strange, given that these things have been going on for decades. And actually, the numbers of undocumented aliens who are now entering the country is actually less than it was in the last 3 years. So it's not clear what the threat really is. But as a practical matter, the courts are reluctant to question the president's determination of what constitutes a threat.
What about this threat of illegal immigration and drug smuggling? I know he's focused a lot on the southern border with Mexico, but what about Canada and China and their role in these things?
Right. The chemicals that are used to create fentanyl originate from China. The fentanyl that mostly enters the United States comes from Mexico, I understand. Canada is really a very minor source of fentanyl to the United States because, among other things, the cost of fentanyl production in Canada is much higher than it is in Mexico, and therefore the Canadians can't really compete with the Mexican fentanyl. So as a practical matter, if the president were only concerned about fentanyl and undocumented aliens entering the country, he would only be targeting Mexico. But instead, he has, for reasons that are not entirely clear, decided to target Canada as well.
What are the ramifications for consumers if the businesses do, in fact, pay the tariffs for the imports that are coming in? And what sorts of imports would be impacted?
The effect of any tariff is to raise the price of goods in the United States. The president insists the tariff is going to be paid by the foreign country. This is every economist agrees. The tariffs are primarily paid by consumers in the United States. One estimate is that for the average person in the United States, the cost of these tariffs will raise prices by about $800, $900. For a family of four, it comes to about $4,000. The average price of a car, according to the Wall Street Journal, will go up by about $3,000. This is because cars are subject not just to the 25% tariff he's threatening to impose on Canadian and Mexican automobiles once, but multiple times, because the component parts of automobiles move back and forth multiple times across the borders from Canada to Mexico, the U.S., back and forth and back and forth. And each time, those automotive parts and cars will be subject to a 25% tariff. So you can imagine that the cost of automobiles will probably outstrip the ability of many Americans to be able to buy a new car. And this goes not just for automobiles, but also for a range of appliances that are typically manufactured in Mexico. Canada and Mexico are both major sources of pharmaceutical drugs, which would go up in price, as would things like timber and steel and other products that are manufactured there. So it has a wide-ranging effect. And it doesn't just affect the price of imports. And this is an important point. If the cost of an import goes up by 25%, then a domestic U.S. manufacturer that competes against that import has the ability now to raise his prices by 25% because his foreign competition's prices have gone up. So it has a generalized effect on the entire U.S. economy, which could be very detrimental for the average American family.
And given Canada's share of the U.S. energy supply, could gas prices potentially increase?
Well, that seems very likely. It's not just Canada. Canada and Mexico together export to the United States about 60% of the total imported energy supplies. So we're going to see a wide-ranging impact on the cost of gas and oil. And that, too, will hurt American consumers significantly.
Are the countries that are being targeted for tariffs by the U.S., do they have any ability to respond in kind?
Absolutely. This is why economists would say that everybody is a loser in a trade war. Everybody is a loser because the Canadians and the Mexicans have already threatened to retaliate against the United States. Those economies may not be as large as the United States, but they're important to to many American producers that sell overseas. 25% of our economy depends on exports, and Mexico and Canada are our largest market. So if we're not able to sell widgets or corn or whatever to those countries, we're going to find that it's going to impact employment in the United States as well. And so many industries in the U.S. will be hurt. When the president in his first term in office imposed tariffs on imports from China, for example, and in several Latin American countries. Those countries retaliated against U.S. agricultural exports. And the impact on U.S. farmers was so great that the U.S. government ended up having to pay billions of dollars to compensate U.S. farmers for the impact of those tariffs on the farm industry. And I fear that's what we're going to face now. We're going to see the federal government having to bail out U.S. businesses that are going to be hurt because they rely on exports to these foreign markets.
President Trump also maintained that he plans to also impose tariffs on European countries. What would the reasoning be for that?
It's not entirely clear what Trump is thinking, but his concern seems to be that the U.S. has a large and growing trade deficit, and he wants to punish the Europeans and other countries because they don't buy enough U.S. products. Here's the problem with that thinking. Economists will tell you that our trade deficit is not necessarily a bad thing, because it means that other countries are giving us goods and services that we could not otherwise afford. And so Americans have a higher standard of living than other people in other countries, precisely because other countries are willing to take U.S. dollars rather than U.S. goods and services in exchange for their goods and services. That reflects the fact that the U.S. is considered to be a safe country to invest in, and the U.S. government is happy to print lots of dollars that other countries are happy to take. And as long as that continues to be true, we're going to continue to have a trade deficit. And if you want to get rid of the trade deficit, there's a very simple way to do that. The only way to do that is to cut consumption in the U.S., either by imposing higher taxes on American consumers, which nobody wants, or by creating unemployment in the United States and leading to a recession, which nobody wants. So our trade deficit is really a measure of the health of the American economy, not an illness. And the measures that the president is threatening to impose against the Europeans, the Canadians, the Mexicans, all of our other trading partners poses a threat to all of those Americans who work in industries that are oriented towards exports.
The president promised to lower grocery prices immediately and a number of other things that he was very concerned about. He is saying that this will cause some pain, but that it will be worth it because it will be a boost to the U.S. ultimately. Is it possible that this is going to turn things around for the better ultimately?
No, is the simple answer. It isn't possible because it's never worked before. It's not likely to work now. You're basically going to see an accelerating arms race among countries imposing retaliatory tariffs against one another. It's going to cut off a lot of U.S. business. It's going to hurt U.S. exporters. And at the end of the day, the most we can hope for is that everybody will negotiate a retreat and everybody will lower their tariffs and be back where we were in the first place. There's nothing wrong with having a trade deficit. There's nothing wrong with consumers in the United States having a wider choice of options as to what they want to buy. They don't have to buy a car manufactured in the U.S. They can buy a car manufactured in other countries. They have more choice. They have the ability to have goods that are lower priced. There's more competition in the market through international trade, and that also leads to more innovation. If you think back to the period when the Nokia phone was, you know, the strongest competitor in the U.S. market for mobile phones, the Nokia phone helped to spur the kind of innovation that led to the creation of the smartphone. And we can all agree that that was probably a good thing for the United States. So having foreign competitors coming into our market, competing against U.S. competition, leads to more innovation, lower prices, and more choices for U.S. consumers.
Are these tariffs consistent with the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Free Trade Agreement?
The simple answer is no. The agreement which President Trump negotiated and signed 5 years ago expressly prohibits any additional tariffs being imposed against Mexico or Canada. And this is inconsistent with that. There is a provision in there in case of a national security threat, but I really think it's a stretch to constitute this, to claim that this is somehow a national security threat. Moreover, it's not just a violation of the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, but also a violation of the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, the foundation of the World Trade Organization. By violating agreements that the president himself negotiated and signed, it sends a message as to whether or not anyone can trust what the president does internationally. And it really undermines not just our trading relations, but all of our relations with friendly countries.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
That was Joel Paul, professor of constitutional law, international business and trade, foreign relations, and national security at UC Law, San Francisco. You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America. On behalf of Scott Walterman and all of us here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow The Issue on X, Blue Sky, and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7, check out our website at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you tomorrow.